You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. I appreciate that. It's good to see everybody this morning. This is a weird day, certainly, that we live in, isn't it? It's constantly changing, and it's good to be with Canby Foursquare Church, whether you're in person, on campus, or online. We are just thankful that we get to gather together. What I want to do, and thank Mark for just setting this up, giving us a little idea of what is ahead for us. I want to give you a few more details. One of the things you can do is you can actually go online. I did a video post last Friday, and it gives you the kind of the framework of where we're going to go in the next couple weeks. I also want you to know that I'll be with you online every week until we just deem it not necessary. We just want you to always be informed. We want you to always be reminded to pray. We want you to be a part of a community, the body of Christ. And so I'll continue to give you those video updates, so you can always go there, look there. They usually show up at the end of the week, and you can see those video updates as we move forward. So here's what's happening. Starting really tomorrow and moving through the next few weeks until November 29th, Sunday, the following week, we are going to go on a two-week pause. And so it's this week and next week we'll be on a two-week pause. It just so happens that the following week is the following week is Thanksgiving. So we usually put it, like Mark said, on pause anyways. So for the next 2 weeks, we're not going to be opening the campus here. We want people to be safe. We really do. We're just praying for your safety, for your health, for your well-being. And so this Sunday, we're present right now. The next two Sundays, we're going to be online only. So November 22nd and November 29th, we're going to be online only. We're going to be on at 9 o'clock, and then that same message will be reproduced again for you at 11 o'clock. Just so you're clear on that, we're going to be online only. So we're encouraging a lot of our small groups, our recovery groups, those that meet on a regular basis, if you could be on Zoom or if you're comfortable being with each other in other places, please feel free to just continue to dive into God's Word. There are always going to be certain inconveniences we face. And this is actually, when I say COVID, it's a huge thing that we're dealing with. But God is good. God is great. And it's going to change some of our patterns just a little bit. I was looking at this scripture the other day, and I just want to give this to you as a word of encouragement. It's out of the book of Hebrews. And it says this: "Let us then with confidence, let us draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." That's really what this is all about. I know this is difficult for us. It's difficult for me. This has been a difficult thing for all of us. But we know God is going to persevere, and God's going to get us through all of this that's happening right now. So continue to pray. Pray that the virus would be stemmed. Pray for God's freedom and healing to just really touch our lives. The other thing I want you to pray for is pray for the lessons that God wants to teach you during this time. God never wastes a crisis. We should never waste a crisis. God, what are you saying to me? God is dealing with my heart in the area of patience. He's dealing with my heart in the area of submission. He's dealing with my heart in a lot of these different areas. And I need God to keep working. And that's what he's doing. He's working in us. We are, the Bible says to us, we are that lamp that's on a hill. Keep shining. Keep shining, Jesus Christ. You've been here before. We were here back in March and April. Essentially, we're going into the same kind of practices moving into the next couple weeks. So I hope you're encouraged. I really do. I know it's difficult, but be encouraged in Jesus' name. Be encouraged. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you for your saving grace that works in our lives. And even though there are shutdowns or pauses, whatever we want to call them, we know you never shut down. You never pause. You're always at work in our hearts. And you find all the different ways to touch us and change us, because you are committed to our salvation. You are committed to our sanctification, growing up and being a full, mature follower of Jesus Christ. So do that for this church community. Do that for the church community at large right now. We just pray in Jesus' name that you would continue, Lord, to do a good work in our lives. In your name we pray, and we all say amen. You're a good church, and I just need you to know that. I need you to know that you're loved. You're deeply, deeply loved. So with that said, we're going to continue, or actually conclude our teaching series, Steadfast. It's been a study through, as Mark said, a study through the books of 1 and 2 Peter. So do this with me. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 18 together. There's where we're going. So when Peter was a young man, you may remember this, in John chapter 21, Jesus had a conversation with him, foretelling him of his death. Jesus said to Peter that they are going to wrap your hands, bind your hands, they're going to change your clothes, dress you, and they're going to lead you to a place you really don't want to go. And that was really a foretelling of Peter's death. And so Peter understands something here. He understands that that day is going to come. So decades later, when Peter is in his 70s, what he does is he writes these two letters telling us how to be steadfast in the middle of crisis. How do we be resilient and even stronger in the face of great odds? How do we do that? Peter does that for us. So the verses that we read today are the final words from a man who was totally devoted to Jesus Christ. And so really what you're reading, what we're reading today is his sign-off, that he's signing off, and that it was only months later that he would actually be martyred, that he would be executed by the Roman Empire, by the Roman government. And so he dies after this writing. And so if you knew, I'm going to ask you this question. If you knew that you were writing your last words, who would you write to and what would you tell them? So who would you write to and what would you tell them? Would you agree with me that who and what, in a lot of ways, it talks about things that define us? I mean, my last words, the things that I say, really have a lot to do with my character, my makeup. Who am I? What do I want? What are my passions? What would I say in my relationships? What would I say about my wants, my desires? What would I say about God's kingdom and my relationship with Jesus Christ? What we have here is Peter doing that very thing. Here's how Peter used his last words. He makes three basic declarations about the future. So in his last words, he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to me and say, hey, here's what's ahead of you. Pay attention. He talked to us about our life is temporary, our calling to God is forever, and that our compass through life is always true. And I want to talk to you about those three declarations this morning, because they're really meaningful. Again, hearing from somebody in their last words makes all the difference in the world, I think, here. From a man who lived a full and fruitful life, the very first thing that he says is, our life here is temporary. That's the very first thing. You know, you obviously can't determine what Peter was going through, the process that he was thinking, but I'm pretty sure of one thing that he was thinking about. He was probably thinking to himself, it seems like just yesterday, when Jesus lovingly restored me, commissioned me, and spoke of my death. I'm thinking that when he's writing this, he's thinking of those things. He's having these memories, these flashbacks. The same is true for a lot of us. The same is true for me. It seems just like yesterday when a young family showed up here at Canby Four Square Church. To me, it seems just like yesterday that God put together this beautiful community and continued to grow it. It seems like yesterday that God brought help. So there could be a pastoring, a loving pastoring outreach in community. God did a lot of wonderful things. And sometimes I look at that and I think, wow, that just seems like yesterday. And I think that's a perspective that God would like us to have. Say, what does my life doing? What kind of inventory do I take in the days that I've lived, that I've worked? What would I say? Peter spoke of us being momentarily preserved. That's what he says in this passage. That for a time, God is going to hold all things together. But just as the material things that were used in creation became instruments of destruction in the past, and he's speaking of the flood, those same materials that are currently in the earth will become the recipe for the future destruction. So he talks about that, and he speaks of that. And so he begins to talk to us about the things that we really need to know. And I want to read it to you right now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, or where righteousness reigns. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, be found blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God had given him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking of these things or these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in grace, grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. And we say, amen, amen. And that's what he tells us. These are his very last words. So he talks to us about our life being temporary, that it's only here for a moment. Did you hear that? You can hear this older man in his 70s recounting his own life. And he's telling us, listen, it's only here for a while. It's momentarily preserved for a while before God destroyed the earth in a flood. But the way it's going to happen in the future is different. And the Bible repeatedly says that this world is going to end. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And then Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, then I saw, this is John the Revelator, then I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So what is he talking about here? He's saying eventually everything will be destroyed. All the things that we know, that we are familiar with, that sustain our life here on this planet, there is a day coming that it will be destroyed. And that's what Peter is talking about. Eventually, this is going to happen. Everything in the created order will be uncreated. And it's spoken of by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for in him all things were created, things in earth and on the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Peter is saying that Jesus Christ, the great creator, holds everything together. That he took chaos and he created the cosmos and he holds things together. But someday, he who holds it all together will let it go. He will uncreate the creation. That day is going to come. He will uncreate, not by water, but the Bible says here, by fire. So what we need to know is that what we're going through right now, and it's a good lesson for me and for you, the way that I apply that today, that this is all going to go away, that this is temporary, this too will pass away. And so when you're thinking about being in this place where there's shelter in place, where there's a pause, where life again is being readjusted, would you just keep in mind, even though it seems, it does to me, that we've been in this forever and ever, that this too will go. This too will pass. This is temporary. And that you know that when things are temporary, we need to get the best use out of those things. They only last for a short time. So whatever it is you're in right now, just open your heart and ask the God of creation, ask Jesus to show you the things that you need to know right now, because this is temporary. Now, here's the second declaration about the future, and that is our calling to God is forever. He refers to that in verse 13. In verse 13, Peter says, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. What was the promise that he was talking about? He's referring to a very particular promise. Well, that promise was given by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, he says this, as the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and your descendants endure. He's speaking of this prophetic word. So Peter is referring to Scripture. He's going back to the Old Testament. And I love this. When you dive into this, the word new, so if you see different places where we talk about new, where the Bible talks about new, these are Scriptures that have a different meaning to new. It means a different sort or a different kind. Does that make sense? It's a different kind of new. It's not a new that we can define. It's not a new that we're familiar with. It's a new that we haven't even seen or discovered yet. This is what Jesus is going to do when all things are destroyed and he brings a new heaven and a new earth. It will be different than what we know today. It'll be different than what we're living in today. It's something that God wants to do in all of our lives. He wants to create things that are new. So I always take the principles that God wants to do, even when they speak of the last days, and say, Lord, would you do a new thing in me? Would you do a new work in my heart? Would you grow me up to be more like you? I want to be more like you because you do new things. You work in our life in new ways. I love what it says in Revelation chapter 21. I just want to go a little further in that because it says so much and it's encouraging for us to hear these words. In verses 1 through 5, it says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from every eye. There will be no more death, or no more mourning, or no more crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy, and these words are true. What's going to happen? This is going to be a new order, a new environment that John speaks of, that Peter refers to. This is amazing. I love this passage because it's amazing to me that God is creating something here. And in fact, the word used here for creating is the same word used in Genesis when it says God spoke the universe into existence. There's only another time. The other time that it's mentioned is when God creates a new heaven and a new earth spoken of here. It's the same Greek word. The Greek word is ex nihilo. I know that's a lot of Greek there, but it's ex nihilo. What it means is God created something out of absolutely nothing. You see, there are times that God takes what we have or takes what's available and he can recreate. This is totally different. This is about something that wasn't and now is, that God spoke it out of nothing and made something beautiful. It literally means God created something out of nothing for the second time. This is incredible. No more physical restrictions like gravity or time. Just imagine all this. It's sometimes difficult, but I was just sitting in my study thinking, wow, the things that I know are gone now. Gravity, time, even down to the smallest details, I won't experience hunger anymore. I won't experience thirst anymore. All of this will be gone. There will be a new capital, a new place of reigning in this new government. It's a new Jerusalem. And on the throne will be Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Wow. The place where Jesus will rule and reign forever and ever and ever. The third thing here, the last thing that Peter declares about our future as believers, is our compass is always true. He speaks of that in verses 11 through 16. In verse 13, Peter refers to promises made in Scripture. Peter always pointed people to Scripture. He points people to Paul's writings. He points people to the Old Testament writings. That Peter was constantly pointing people to Scripture. All truth found in Scripture gives us a compass we need to navigate the life that we're in. And so there's encouragement there. There's encouragement there to tell us that we need to really know and understand God's Word. We've been talking about that. That you would take time, I'm going to say this, especially in the next couple weeks, that you would take time and really dive deeper into the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that brings truth. It's the Word of God that sets us before us a standard on how we should live, how we should be in relationship with others. It's God's Word. And we want to embrace the Word of God because it shows us how to get through these very difficult times. The Word of God helps us in so many different ways. There were a few things that I thought about. The first thing is it motivates our will. That it gives us something clear to go after and that we can put our body, soul, and spirit into it. When things get hard, who are we? When things get tough right now, who are we? Who are you right now? What has God exposed in your heart? What is God doing in your life? Because when it gets difficult, that comes out. We ought to be people who live for what's beyond the material things. That's what Peter's saying. Don't hold on to the material things because you know why? They will pass away. Hold on to what isn't material. Hold on to God's Word. Hold on to that relationship you have with Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, I think that the Word of God also settles our heart. Have you ever been in a place where you're anxious and you're overwhelmed by life's troubles and problems? You might be there right now. What's being stated here is that when we absorb God's Word, that it settles our heart. It has the properties about it, the truth in it, that brings peace, that brings joy, that we can experience the fruit of the Spirit because we're diving into God's Word, a compass here for peace when we're lost. And there have been times that I've just felt over my head. I can say for sure in the last 6 or 8 months, I've felt that on a regular occasion where I'm thinking, wow, I'm in over my head. I really don't know what to do. And with prayer and counsel and understanding God's Word, there's direction that's given to us. I don't know if you've ever been lost in one way or another and then experienced such an overwhelming sense of peace because you knew God was with you, that God was going to lead you through. It was a year ago right now. I think it was a year ago right about this time. Annette and I were over visiting our pastors, our missionaries in Albania. And so we spent some time in southern Albania, and we were driving to northern Albania where there was going to be a pastor's conference. And we pulled out our GPS, which gives us direction. It's kind of our compass. And we started to follow it. And as we kept going further and further, we noticed that the roads were getting worse and worse. And we also noticed that right off the side of the road was like a fall, a drop of 1,000, 2,000 feet. No guardrails, no nothing. And we're driving down this road, and both of us start talking and asking the question. You know, it's quiet in the car for a little bit, and then someone has to break the ice and say, are we lost? Are we going the right way? And we just started kind of laughing. We just actually started enjoying it. I think there was a real peace. And I know that was God's word. I know it was His reassurance. He was giving us a peace. We drove for miles and miles. We were out in the middle of wilderness in a foreign country driving by ourselves. We get down to the bottom of a little canyon, and I thought, oh my goodness, we're even out of cell range. But I looked at my phone, and there was bars. I had them on, there was coverage. And I called immediately Sean Mason, who's the missionary there. And I said, Sean, I don't think we're going the right direction. And he said, well, did you pass the aqueduct? And I said, no. Well, did you pass that big farm on the right? No. And then he asked one other thing, and I said, no. And then he said, get out, turn around, go back. And we turned around and went back. But the whole time that we were lost, we had a peace. And I know that's only something God can do for us. That when we're wandering at times, when we feel lost, know that there's peace for you to be found. That God is a God of peace. The Word of God also stabilizes our minds. Knowing God's Word and trusting in the Holy Spirit keeps us on the right path of following Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God that has been set before us, a lamp, a light unto my feet. It's the Word of God that stabilizes the way that I think. Knowing and searching God's Word keeps us from falling into doctrinal instability. We need to know God's Word, especially when the world is shaking, the world is unstable. I know God has us here for this time, for such a day as this, that we would be a stabilizing force to a world that's lost and dying. That God is using you and wants to use you for that. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can invite Him into your heart. You can come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Right now, if you're online, you call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and you will be saved. And that the Word of God and the presence of God's Spirit, Jesus in your life, will give you stability, a stability of mind. And we need that. I need a stable mind right now because there are a lot of things that are going on around us. We want to be stable in God's Word. We also know that the Word of God brings confidence for us to move ahead. Again, I want to say this. I've experienced times of just not feeling confident at all and diving into the Word of God and finding confidence regained. Not a human confidence, not a confidence in flesh, but a confidence in the leadership of God's Holy Spirit in my life. God wants to lead you by His Spirit, and that you would listen to Him and that you would find confidence in your relationship with Him. Knowing that the created world will someday pass away. Peter says this should cause you to live a godly life, a holy life, a confident life, an expectant life, and a peaceful life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That is the work of God's Spirit. And these are the signing off words of the Apostle Peter saying, hey, pay attention. Here's the declaration. Follow Jesus. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I want to thank You today for allowing us and giving us the opportunity to come together as a church community. And Lord, we know that this is Your design. Whether we're online, whether we're on campus, we are part of the community of Jesus Christ. Thank You for connecting us. Thank You for holding us together. And we do know that one day this will all be gone. It will be destroyed. And You will bring in a new heaven and a new earth, and we are part of that. Those who call on the name of the Lord are part of that. So, Lord, bring peace to our hearts. Bring a confidence to our minds. And, Lord, let our spirit be strong in these days. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.